live from Buffalo Creek. Turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Several years ago, I wrote a book entitled Abandoned Truth, The Doctrines of Grace, a study of the doctrines of grace, which I certainly believe and embrace. And it's been reprinted several times, and I'm thankful that God has used it in spreading the message of the doctrines of grace in the Philippines. But there's arisen an issue where I think either folks have either misunderstood, and perhaps some are even misrepresenting what was written in the book regarding the gospel. And today I'm going to just kind of bring forth what I believe, the Bible teaches, and address the issue that was raised. The title of this will be A Definitive Statement on the Gospel. And you can't get any more definitive than what is written in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. There is only one gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved. Now you'll notice something here. He states that the gospel is the means by which they are saved. Now, Paul had nothing as a messenger of the gospel. The power did not reside in him. It's not a man who delivers the gospel that has the power to save. It's only God. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And here is the definitive statement on the gospel. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the message that we're to carry throughout all the world, telling men, women, boys, and girls that the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, through His death on the cross for sinners, His burial, and His resurrection from the dead. This is the message that the apostles preached. It is the only saving message in the Scripture. There is no other gospel but the one that was delivered in the Word of God. And the gospel centers around the person and the work of Jesus Christ. In fact, Peter preached, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Now, there has evidently been a brewing controversy in the Philippines over the book that I wrote, and specifically regarding the introduction that Brother Milburn Cockrell, the late Milburn Cockrell, wrote for me to put in the book. And what's happened is, I think somebody has taken maybe something out of context, they've misunderstood it, They've misrepresented it even. Because I'm here to tell you that Brother Cockrell did not believe that you had to have a qualified man who believed the doctrines of grace on all the 5 points who delivered the gospel in order to be saved. He didn't believe. And I knew him for years. I've heard him preach. The power is not in a messenger. It's in God. It's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the misunderstanding is obviously when they read the introduction, they didn't understand that he was contrasting the system of Arminianism, which is basically salvation by free will and works, and the system of grace, the doctrines of grace, the 5 points. I don't like the term Calvinism because I believe that the doctrines of grace originate in the Scriptures and that there were Baptists who believed them before John Calvin or Martin Luther ever drew a breath. But nevertheless, that system of theology has been nicknamed Calvinism. So I'm going to read the statement by Brother Cockrell with that explanation. He is merely contrasting the difference between Arminianism and its tenets and the doctrines of grace and its tenets, these systems of belief. He says, for hundreds of years, the Baptists of the past took an uncompromising stand for these old truths as held by the Waldenses, Anabaptists, church fathers, Christ and his apostles. Now nicknamed Calvinism, most modern day Baptists do not believe these truths nor preach them in their churches. Sad to say, but most Baptist churches are now in a state of apostasy, and nothing proves this more than their departure from the doctrine of free and sovereign grace. Most Baptists of this generation claim to believe in salvation by grace, yet they insist that the sinner has the power to make a decision for Christ. They declare that God loves all men alike, but that he's going to send some of those that he loves to hell fire. They assert that God is omnipotent, but they also are confident that he cannot save a sinner unless the sinner lets him save him. The very term Calvinism is treated as though it were a curse word. Now again, my preference is to use the term doctrines of grace. But he is identifying a theological system that people recognize. Here is what he said. The Christ of Arminianism is not the Christ of the New Testament. Again, he's making a contrast here between the doctrinal beliefs of those who believe they don't believe in man's total depravity, they don't believe in unconditional election, they don't believe in particular redemption, they don't believe in the invincible or effectual, irresistible call to grace. They don't believe in the preservation and perseverance of the saints. They deny those 5 points. Okay? And so he says the Christ of the New Testament laid down his life for the sheep, John 10:15. And he plainly declared that some people were not his sheep, John 10:26. The gospel of Arminianism is not the gospel of the New Testament, but it is another gospel which preaches another Jesus. All right, now, I want to make a statement about this. If someone is preaching that you're saved by your free will or your decision-making process or by a ceremony or a repeat-after-me prayer, that's what he's referring to. But listen, if somebody, I don't care if it was a Methodist, if a Methodist stood up, read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, and said, this is a definitive statement of the gospel, and it's the only way to be saved. If it was a Methodist preacher who said that, people could be saved. See, it's not the messenger that saves. It's the message of the gospel as empowered by God. Now, he goes on to say, the gospel of the New Testament is the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20:24. The message, again, notice the contrast he's given. The message of Arminianism makes man his own Savior. Yet the message of the New Testament is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I agree with all that. He is making a contrast between two systems of belief. Okay? He says this, on earth there has never been and never will be but two religions. One is the teaching that man is free to control his own destiny. The other is that man's destiny is controlled by God. The first religion originated with Cain, who founded the first human religion and originated religious persecution. All pagan religions in the world have gone the way of Cain. Arminianism is a modern form of the way of Cain, for it makes man's words, worth, and works to do more than Christ did. In truth, Arminianism is paganism and popery under the banner of Christianity. It will culminate in the worship of a man in the person of the final Antichrist. And then he goes on to explain how the doctrines of grace present God as the author of salvation, and that they are free and sovereign, not depending at all upon man's ability or upon man's works. Now, again, I can't stress this enough. He's just contrasting the two systems of belief. So yesterday, Thomas Salaka texted me and asked me this question. Do you believe that no person can be saved with an Arminian pastor and message? My answer was, I said, this is simple. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The gospel remains the gospel no matter who is preaching it or reading it. The power to save sinners is not in the man who is preaching the message. The power is in the work of the Holy Spirit revealing the grace of the gospel to sinners. That's where the power resides. It's in God. The Spirit of God must give them spiritual life and the new birth, and He immediately gives them the gift of repentance and faith in the gospel, faith in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. So, and that's the gospel I preach. It's what I believe is God's way. Now, I've got several verses, and I want to show you what they preached in the New Testament. I've already quoted Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. In Acts chapter 8, when Philip was preaching, it says, well, the first church was scattered. It says in verse 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Then later in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Can anybody be saved when somebody preaches unto them Jesus? That He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Can any man be saved when a man says that Jesus Christ died for sinners, was buried, and rose again from the dead, and that's the only way that you can be saved? Can a man be saved by that message? Absolutely. This is what they preached. Look what it says in Acts 8:36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, Son, here is water. What doth hinder to me to be baptized? See, he didn't believe baptism saved. A lot of Arminians believe that. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Turn over to Acts chapter 10 and verse 42. Again, the focus is on the message, not the messenger. It's on Christ and Christ alone. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Acts chapter 13, look what it says in verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent. And what is that word of salvation? He clearly defines it in verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Over and over again. What's the focus? Is it on the messenger? Is it on the preacher? No. It's on the Christ. It's on the work of Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It says in verse 21, For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Chapter 3 and verse 2 says, For I determined to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's the gospel. It's the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We preach not ourselves. I am nothing more than a poor, broken, depraved sinner that deserves nothing but the fires of hell for all eternity. Don't look to me, because I have no saving power. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Don't look to the preacher, the messenger. Look to the Lamb of God. He is the one that saves. If you'll turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 4. "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." It's the power of the Spirit that brings that sinner to Christ and a belief in the gospel. Notice how it's connected in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, with God's eternal purpose of grace. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." The focus is on the message of the gospel. Sinners are not saved by the messenger, but by the message of Christ alone. I want to state this definitively. I have never believed, nor did Brother Cockrell believe, that the power of salvation depends on how doctrinally sound the preacher is. I mean, think of me. I'm going to take this to its logical end in a minute. As I've stated before, an Arminian baby-sprinkling Methodist who denies all 5 points of the doctrines of grace, if he were to read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and say Christ is the only way of salvation, is the power to save in him? No, it's in the message. God could save a sinner through the preaching of the gospel. Now let's take this premise, this idea that you have to be doctrinally sound and qualified in order to deliver the gospel. Let's take its premise. If someone could only be saved through the preaching of a sovereign grace Baptist who believes the 5 points of the doctrines of grace, and I believe them from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. I believe in total depravity, in unconditional election, in particular redemption, in the invincible, irresistible, effectual call of God, and the perseverance and preservation of the saints. Believe it with all my heart. But you realize it's the doctrine of Christ. Christ's work, His death, His burial, His resurrection. That's what saves sinners. Let me go on. If a person has to believe the doctrines of grace in order to deliver that message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, think about this logically. That means that the hearer, their faith would have to be in the preacher who is presenting the message. You see where this goes to? If the only people that can be saved are those that hear it from a sovereign grace Baptist, then that, what is he going to wear that on his forehead? Is he going to have a sign that says, I'm a sovereign grace 5-point believer in the doctrines of grace? You believe in me and the message I preach? You see, it means that hearer's faith would have to be partially in the preacher presenting the message. And again, my faith is in Christ and in His gospel alone, not in the preacher. I mean, it really is. Otherwise, the qualified preacher becomes a mediator that sinners must go to in order to be saved. Okay? That's Roman Catholicism. That's priestcraft. That's the Campbellite religion, where you have to go to the preacher in order to be baptized, in order to receive forgiveness and remission of sins. Or you have to go to the priest. In the Catholic, there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to stir up controversy. And I thank God that God has used that book through the years. But I'm going to tell you something. Men are fallible. And oftentimes people make whole doctrines out of things they take out of context regarding the writings of men. I can assure you that Brother Cockrell never believed that the messenger had to be a certain qualified person. Listen, people are saved through Jesus Christ alone. I got one little other thing I'm going to bring up, because they included me in a group chat on, and I don't even understand all these things on Facebook and Messenger, but in this Messenger chat, and several people, I know some of them, they're my friends on Facebook, people listen to the message all over the Philippines, and I'm grateful for that. But right now, there's a new thing on superlapsarianism, infralapsarianism. You know, all those are philosophies of men. Let me ask you this. Who knows the mind of God so that they can systematize and put in order His decrees? Who? Who knows the mind of the Almighty? I don't give a moment's thought to all the lapsarianisms. Because I don't know how somebody could possibly know the mind and the order of Almighty God. Now, men put things in order to try to clarify their belief system, and a lot of it is just human philosophy. And I think we need to get back to what the Word of God says. There's only one way to be saved, and it's not through a doctrinal system. It's through a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I recommend Him to you. I'm nothing more than a poor sinner. And I don't want my words to be taken out of context. Christ is the only way. No matter who's preaching that, sinners can be saved.